Pray.
This, I thought about we could just close our Bibles and go home. This needs no comment, really, but necessity is laid upon me. The story is so clear. Or as the Scripture says, it's plain to him that understands it. But all don't. So that's why we preach. That dead bones might live. So what a relevant message this is. A clear description of the world. The church. The gospel. But notice verse 1 says, came to pass after this. The whole world went after Jehoshaphat and Judah. After this. There's something interesting. It all goes together in chapter 19. Chapter 19, Jehoshaphat is the king, and he's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, another type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Judah, I kept emphasizing that, didn't I, when we were reading it. Judah was God's chosen people. Not all of Israel. It was 11 tribes, and then Judah, as God's chosen. Jerusalem, that's the city of David. It's where the temple was. These were the people of God. A remnant, according to election. They knew the Lord, and they had a godly king named Jehoshaphat. That's a picture of the church. The true church. Israel's religion. Everybody claimed to know God, used His name, but they didn't. They didn't. Well, in chapter 19, verse 5, it says, Jehoshaphat set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah. And he said to these judges, these were men, not women, men, whom he set over the people to judge them, to give wise decisions, discernment, to rule over them. Says he said to the judges, take heed what you do. You judge not for man, but for the Lord. And he's with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed, do it. There's no iniquity with our Lord, our God. He's holy. No respect of persons, no taking of gifts. And he went on to say in verse 9, he charged them, do it in fear of the Lord, faithfully, with a perfect heart. David even said that in his last words. David said, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of the Lord. And then down in verse 11, the last line says, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with thee. So be with the good. So Jehoshaphat set up judges to rule in Judah who were just men in the fear of the Lord because the rest of the world was corrupt. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord has not left Himself without a witness in our generation? Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ has set up men called, chosen and faithful to rule over His house, His church, by the word of the Lord, not their thoughts, not their opinions, not popular opinion, but by the word of the Lord in the fear of the Lord. They dare not say anything else than what the Lord has said. To rule over His church. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And that's why Paul said, remember them in prayer. That have the rule over you. And obey them, that is, follow them. They watch for your souls. They're not interested in counting your heads or your money or building a big... They're called of the Lord to guide His people and to preach. Aren't you glad? So many falsehoods. In the book of Judges, the last line, the book of Judges, ironically, Judges, it says that there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is our day, isn't it? That's the day we live in. There's no sovereign God proclaimed, but very few preachers called of God like these men of Jehoshaphat, who rule in the fear of the Lord by the word of the Lord. But every man does that and says that which is right in his own eye. So corruption reigns in this land, but not in the church. Did you hear that? That's a blessing. And it says, after this, after he set up these men, they were needful. He set up these men, says the whole world came after them. You think you're right, and everybody else is wrong. Think you're the only true people, and everybody else is wrong. And the whole world came after Judah, not Israel. They weren't fighting Israel. They were fighting Judah. Do you understand? This is what Psalm 2 said. The Lord said this, "Why the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing." That refers to Jews and Gentiles. "Kings of the earth, rulers set themselves. Rulers take counsel together against..." Who they're against? Who is man against? Religion against? Against God. Against the Lord. The Lord. Jehovah. Abraham, Isaac. "And against His anointed, who is Christ, who is His people. Say, let's break this band asunder. Let's cast them away from us, this little man. He that sitteth in the heavens laughs." He says, here's what God says in Psalm 2, and this is what this whole picture is. "I've set my king on my holy hill of Zion, the Lord Jesus Christ. Though the whole world is against him." And they were. Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Jews and the Gentiles did what God determined before to be done. So, here's the picture. Judah represents the church of God. Jehoshaphat represents Jesus Christ, King of kings, the Lord over his people, Savior of his people. All right? And it says in verses 1 and 2, "The whole world came after them." But verse 3, "Jehoshaphat feared and set himself," or that is, set his face like a flint, to seek the Lord. Set his face like a flint and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And verse 4, "And Judah gathered themselves together." Who'd they gather to? Jehoshaphat. He was their king. They gathered to him to do what? To ask help of the Lord. And they came out of all cities of Judah, from the north, the south, the east, and the west of that land of Judah. And they came to seek the Lord. Get help from the Lord. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, God's King, is in the midst of Judah. His people. Thank God, Christ our Lord, Scripture says, set His face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Scripture says He was heard in that He feared. And set His face like a flint to come to this earth to redeem His people. Not to try to save everybody, but to come to redeem His people. And He came down here and He went to the cross. Looked like he was crucified in weakness, didn't it? Looked like he was just a martyr. Looked like when everyone just laid hold of him and killed him. But no, God purpose for this to be done. This was going to be the redemption of his people. It was the redemption of his people. It was to be their salvation, whereby the king, the God of this world, would be destroyed. Whereby the sins of God's people would be forever put away, their dead bodies cast aside, destroyed. All the enemies of God's people would be put away forever by one man who had by himself purged the sins of his people, came into this world, and having obtained eternal redemption for them. Oh, what a picture Jehoshaphat is here. All right? It says the people gathered to him. They gathered to him to seek help, ask help, to call on the Lord, came from everywhere. They came to seek the Lord. They didn't come to see one another. They didn't come to see the pageantry. They didn't come to see the choir. They didn't come to hear the music. They didn't come to see Jerusalem. They didn't come to see the temple. They didn't come. They came to ask help from the Lord. These were people, the whole world was against them. They came to seek the Lord. They had food, they had raiment, they had all they needed, but they were in trouble. They had enemies all around them, and the worst enemy of all was within them. This is the people of God. They don't come for entertainment. They don't come for the see things. They're people that sin plagues them. Satan's after them. The world is against them. They themselves are their own worst enemy. Troubles without, trials, afflictions, sorrows, sin without, within, strivings without, struggles within, like Rebecca too in her. They don't come, they come for one reason, to ask help, to call on the name of the Lord. Help us. Like Jehoshaphat prayed for them. We have no might. We have no ability whatsoever. We can't beat one of our enemies, and there are many, and they're strong. Would you help us? Oh, King, go out before us. Help us. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But God answered him. Seek the Lord. Seek His face. They're not seeking riches. They're not seeking a mate. They're seeking the Lord. Those who seek the Lord find the Lord. And find all and in all Him. We gather to Christ our King, our Lord, to help us, to pray for us. Bless God, Jehoshaphat prayed for Him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, Scripture said. People, Judah, I'm talking to you. We have a King that praying for us, ever lives to make intercession for us. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, the Father always hears Him. And all who come in His name, the Father will hear them. And that blessed prayer that our Lord prayed in John 17, we're not saved by our prayers. We're saved by that prayer. We pray after the fact. You know that? We don't even call until after the fact. Whoever calls, calls because the Lord called them. Whoever prays, prays because Jesus Christ prayed for them. Whoever the Lord saves, saved because God gave them to Jesus Christ. There's their captain, who Jehoshaphat represents here. He's not a perfect representation, not at all. But he pleaded his own weakness. Like me. I had no power. At all. I'm not. My hope is your hope in the Lord and His mercy and His grace. So Jehoshaphat stood and he prayed, and here was his prayer, and we read it, "Oh Lord our God, art thou not God in heaven, God of our fathers? Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen?" You ever notice how everybody that prays like one of the old fellows said, everybody prays like a Calvinist. But their theology's not. The way they talk, the way they conduct themselves, free will. And when all men pray to God, they attribute sovereignty to Him. No, God's people know. They know in their heart. They know by experience, God reigns, God rules. They're so thankful. This is their hope. This is our hope. This is our, what men get mad at, what men hate, that God reigns and rules. That's God's people's hope. People get mad at God's electing of people. God's elect say, if He hadn't elected me, then I'd be a goner. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing right here. I wouldn't be standing right here. I was like Esau. I had no interest in this whatsoever. None. Despised it. And I can't preach the gospel without saying these two words. But God, bless His holy name, before the world began, chose this old fella, or I wouldn't have come. Now that doesn't change what God says about seeking Him. If you don't seek Him, He won't be found. If you don't call on Him, you won't be saved. If you don't confess Him in baptism, you won't be saved. He said, I don't understand. Well, you will if God gives you understanding. Every one of God's people understand. It's proof. When you call, it's proof that He called you. When you seek, it's proof that He sought you first. When you repent, it's proof that the goodness of God led you to repent. When you believe, it's proof that you're saved by grace. Or you wouldn't believe at all. But see, man's responsible. God says, call. And they don't. So He says, well, I told you to call and you didn't call. So the blame's right on your head. You're to blame. But then if God calls them and they start calling, they realize, oh, God gets all the glory. All the glory. If it left me to myself, I wouldn't have called. Where am I? Oh, God, our God, Thou art our God. Our God. And he went on to plead with God and to all he did, Brother John, is repeat back to God what God had already said and done. You understand? Nothing new. He's just pleading the same sovereign mercy, sovereign grace, sovereign power that God displayed over the first chosen people back in Egypt, how that God brought them all out by a high hand. God chose them. God revealed Himself to them. God sent the blood over the doorpost, and God brought them out with a high hand. And Jehoshaphat and all the people said, we're just like those people. All our hope is in this sovereign Lord. And those that God has chosen know that. And that's what we say today. And because they believed that God, because they were God's people, the whole world was out to get them. And that's so. The whole world. And they came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to Jehoshaphat, a type, to pray for them. And so do God's people come to Christ. And I read that to you in Psalm 2. He that sits in the heavens laughs. And he reminds us, I'm with you. Though the whole world be against you. Though everything is against you. Sin, Satan, self. Read on. It says in verse, not repeat this prayer, but he did say in verses 9 through 11 that you gave us a temple. And Solomon said, whoever prays in thy name toward that holy temple, no matter where they are. No matter where they are. They pray in thy name toward that holy temple that you'll hear them and you'll save them. Now you know what that temple is. That's Jesus Christ. In the name of Christ. Christ said, pray in my name, the Father. And so we plead that. Lord, we're in trouble. We come, we need help. Thou art our God, your God over all. We come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you help us? And I love this, verses 12 and 13. It said, oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? Thou art the judge of the earth. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. We have no might. We have no power against our sins. We have no might, no power against Satan. We have no might, we have no power to resist one temptation in this world. Neither know we what to do. We're at our wit's end. But our eyes are upon thee. And can you see this picture? It says, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And there we sit. There you sit. With our little ones. I think of this verse every time when I'm sitting there and look out and see these little ones sitting beside you. Think of this verse. We're just like these people are. We have no might. We have no power. We don't know what to do. All we know to do is look to Thee. Our little ones, oh Lord, would You turn their eyes upon Thee? Would You cause them to see their need of You? And they all stood before the Lord. How did the Lord answer them? The Lord answered. How did He answer them? The same way He answers His people today. He sent a preacher. He raised up a man right out from the middle of them. A Levite of the sons of Asaph. David talked much of Asaph. He gave songs. Asaph was a Levite, of whom a son of Aaron. But he was raised up from among the people, verse 14, in the midst of the congregation, a man named Jehaziel. Don't know much about him. We never heard of him before this. And you won't hear about him again. And he preached one message. What a message. What a message. And here's what he said. And it's the exact same message that every one of God's people preached. His preachers preached today. No different. Man that God raises up out of the congregations. And he said, verse 15, "Hearken ye, all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude." Yes, you're in the minority. Yes, it seems like everything and everyone is against you. Yes, you have no might, no power against any of these enemies that assault you, that assail you. You have no might or power. But the battle's not yours. It's God's. The battle's not yours. It's God's. Didn't He tell Isaiah to go comfort His people? Didn't He? Comfort ye, my people. This is the only comfort to God's people. Here's what He said. Tell them, speak ye comfortably to the heart, to Jerusalem, my people. Cry unto her. Cry unto her. This is where preachers began to cry. Not supposed to do that anymore. Well, the Lord said, do it. Cry unto her. Say it loudly. They might be asleep. Cry unto her. Her warfare is accomplished. This battle for their soul is already done. It's already been won. Well, who won it? Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree, the captain of our salvation. Who, when He, after He had poured out His soul unto death, after He, God laid on Him the iniquity of all of His people, after God made Him to be sin for them, He who knew no sin, and made them righteous in Him, charged to them His perfect life, His obedience, declared them holy, unblameable, and I'm enjoying saying this again. Are you enjoying hearing it again? Say it all the time. Made them holy, unblameable, and unreprovable. The whole world's guilty. The whole world is blameable, reprovable, guilty in God's sight, but not those in Christ. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in God's sight. Why? Because what they did... Oh, no! No! They don't have anything to do with it. Their salvation was accomplished by Jesus Christ hanging on that tree. Accomplished by Jesus Christ living in this earth for 33 years. It's not me and Jesus. It's Jesus! Not what I did with His blood. It's what God did with His blood. Not my acceptance of Him, it's His acceptance of me. Cry unto her.
Are you helpless, hopeless, damned and doomed and assaulted by everything and everyone, including yourself? He told Isaiah, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Anybody in trouble? Anybody at your wit's end? Anybody say, I have no help, no hope in myself? Tell them. Those that say that, tell them the battle's over before it begins. It's over. It's been won. And Jesus Christ won. That's good news, isn't it? He won. It's over. It's all over but the shouting. Like when the Lord told Gideon and the people, you surround that city, and here's what you'll do. You'll take pitchers and hammers and and just start singing. Well, you can't break down walls. You can't buy with pitchers. Trumpets, you watch. You can't fight the enemy and defeat the enemy by sitting still. No, you can't. Because it's not yours. You can't beat anybody. You can't beat yourself. The battle's not yours. Isn't that good news? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Tell them that. It's over. Iniquity's pardoned. They're dead bodies. Dead, they're crucified with Christ. You're dead and your life's hid with God in Christ. And you're going to see Him laying on the shore like these people did when it's all over. Your sin's gone because of Jesus Christ. He said in His message to the people, verse 16, go down tomorrow, you'll go against them. And every one of us are going to... We've got these enemies right now inside of us right now bothering us. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but with principalities and power and rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan, whom the world scoffs at, yet is under his bondage, under his rule. Satan, whose grand design is to keep people from hearing the gospel, but bless God, God's people are not going to be kept from hearing the gospel. Because the hearing of the ear is of the Lord, the seeing eyes of the Lord. They're going to see their need of Him. They're going to hear this message. And they're going to call on Him, and God's going to save them. Well, you got people against you now, and you're going to leave this room, and the fowl of the air and the thorns and the thistles are going to seek to choke out this word. You're going to go out, and you're going to face them here. You're going to face them there. You're going to go to work. You're going to go home. Some of you are going to go home, and they're going to seek to destroy what you've heard this morning. Go out against them, the Lord said. You'll find them everywhere. They're all around us. That's what this preacher said. They're everywhere. But verse 17, you don't need to fight. Set yourselves. Settle it in your hearts. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. What's your hope? The Lord is with you. And if God be for us, everybody says that, don't they? Everybody quotes that. And how you know God is for you is if you're for Him. You're for His glory. You're for His honor. You're for His namesake. You're for His truth. You're for His Son. You're for His blood. You're for His righteousness. Not man's. You're for His will. You're for His joy. You're for His reign, for His rule, His glory, His honor. That's how you know God's for you. You're for His Son getting all the glory. That's how you know God's for you. God be for you. Who can be against you? Go out. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head. Fell on his face. And all Jerusalem, Judah, they worshiped the Lord. My, my. The Levites stood up to praise. The next morning they rose early in the morning. What'd they get up to do? What'd you get up to do? What'd you come for this morning? As our Lord said to some about John, what'd you go out to see? Some went out to see this preacher, curiosity. Some went to hear the word of the Lord. They did. Did they? Yes, they did. What did they hear? They heard this. They heard John stand up and say, battle's not yours. It's the Lord. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's what they heard. Same message. It's not yours. It's the Lord. It's the Lamb's. They're making war with the Lamb. The Lamb prevailed. The Lamb prevailed. And those that are with Him in Revelation, those that are with the Lamb are called, chosen, and faithful. Faithful to His name. Faithful to His glory. Faithful to His honor. Faithful to His worship. They can do nothing else. They rose in the morning and they came to worship the Lord for this great salvation that they heard about. But it's not over. There's a lot to take place. But it is. It is. As we said, all over but the shouting. They're going to shout. Oh my, are they going to shout. In verse 20, Jehoshaphat said, hear me, Judah, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, His word, God's word, and you'll prosper. Not materially, but spiritually. Your faith will be strengthened, said. Believe. What does the scripture say? Believe what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Every single person that really, really believes on, that really trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, that casts all their care, their soul, their sins, their everything, their future on the Lord Jesus Christ, that confesses all their sins on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ, their scapegoat. Every single person, no matter how, what they've done, where they've been, no matter what, no matter who, whosoever shall cast all their care, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ who came to save sinners, shall be saved. That's as good as none. It's over. None of them that trust in the Lord will be ashamed. Reckon anybody in the crowd said, preach it again. I didn't hear that last line. Just stand still. Stand still. And lo and behold, says they, here's what they did. They just started praising the Lord. Praise the Lord. What did they praise Him for? Verse 21. The last line. Praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. You rarely hear that word today in religion, do you? Mercy. You turn on your TV. You go to the average place. You rarely hear it. You come to the church where the gospel's preached, where sinners are, you'll hear it about every three words, like the Psalms. One Psalm in particular says it in every verse. His mercy endureth forever. It would seem like repetition. It seems redundant to the average person. Why does he keep saying that? Why does he keep saying that? His mercy endureth forever. Why does he keep saying that? Well, to the people of God, they want to hear it until the day they die. To these people who are sinners, who have no might, no power, who see no hope in themselves, who have no ability to fight temptation and sin, who all their hope is in His mercy. Tell me again, this mercy won't give out, that when I sin today, and when I sin tomorrow, and when I'm laying on my deathbed, and I've sinned against the Lord, would you tell me one more time, before I die, that that mercy endureth forever? Would you? Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Not too long ago, I went to the emergency room, drove myself there, thought I was having a heart attack. I spent 8 hours in the emergency room, and they were treating me for a heart attack. And I was driving myself there, couldn't get a hold of anybody. And I thought, it's over. And you know all that I could think of all I could think about. Lord, have mercy on me, this sinner. Have mercy on me through the Lord Jesus Christ. You said. You said. He takes pleasure. You take pleasure in them that fear you and hope in your mercy. Have mercy on me, this sinner. And the word came to me. His mercy endureth forever.
It's my hope. My hope. Well, they began to sing and praise the Lord. And you know what he did? He smote their enemies. In fact, they destroyed themselves. They destroyed themselves. And we would too. We'd destroy ourselves. If the Lord hadn't chosen us, had mercy upon us. And now in verse 24 it says, none of them escaped. Their dead bodies were seen falling to the earth. None escaped. What a picture that is of all of our sins. All of our sins are gone. None escaped. They're all laid on the head of our Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, the spoils they got. Oh my. And they were headed to Jerusalem with joy and rejoicing, with riches, innumerable, unsearchable riches. Psalteries and harps and trumpets, verse 28, singing unto the Lord, fear of God upon them all, worshiping the Lord for such great salvation. They, not one of them did one blessed thing. Nobody lifted a finger. Nobody shot an arrow. Nobody threw a spear. God did it all. And they were blessing him. And it says in verse 30, the realm of Jehoshaphat the king was quiet. His rest. God gave him rest. And that meant everybody that was with Jehoshaphat had rest forever, seemed like, in his realm. No more battle. No more enemies. No more assaults. God's people, someday, oh, the unsearchable riches I hadn't seen or hadn't heard. But oh, for those that fear the Lord, those that know Him who fought their battle, rest, peace, no more battle, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. Just rejoicing with Judah. All right. Let's sing in closing number 442. Praise Him. Praise Him. Number 442. Sing a couple of verses.